Welcome everyone to the Hemingway Point Community Development District meeting. Today is Wednesday, April 28th. That is after the 2 o'clock advertised time. With us eating their lunch is Anthony and Russ. Carlos is probably eating as well, but he's on screen. And Roy is here. He doesn't ever eat, so we're good there. Cheryl is unfortunately not able to attend today. Minutes from March 24th are in the book and circulated. If those are okay, a motion would be appreciated.
Make a motion to approve the minutes.
That's from Russ. Is there a second?
Second.
From Roy. All in favor?
Aye.
All right. So the main reason we're gathered today is to kick off the what we call the budget cycle for CDDs. District budgets have several parts to them, in the procedures as well. We have a lot of new people on the, or a couple new people on the board, but just for background, your proposed budget is before you today. There's actually two options in it. Whatever you decide today sets the highest amount that you're allowed to actually adopt in, at a future meeting. The second thing you do is you pick the date of that future meeting, and between now and then, if you do adopt a higher or an increase to the assessment, we are required to send a mailed notice to each property owner and notifying them of a public hearing to increase the assessment. And at that hearing, they would have, obviously like any meeting, they have an opportunity to give comments. The board meets in that hearing and decides to adopt the budget at that highest level or a number lower. In terms of detail, the budget line items are really not the focus at this point. It's really what you feel the community can, you know, what you're willing to assess your neighbors with as a future assessment. Your current assessment is, by district standards, slightly low. You do have fairly, I'd call them robust, but significant obligations. You own a pool and a cabana facility with fencing and obviously accompanying electronic equipment and surveillance, et cetera. You own the land around that pool, which has various maintenance responsibilities. You've adopted the responsibility for the center median. You own and are responsible for the entrance structure, which we know we've spent money on that. You also own and operate multiple landscape buffers, like their end caps, if you will, of some of the housing sections. There's not enough land for a new house, so that little buffer land is yours. It's a little, like a little passive park type thing, and a few stretches of land here in between. You own a drainage system. In that drainage system, it would be the collection of all floodwaters. That floodwater is transited off the property or into French drains into the ground in most cases. Ultimately, those are expensive to maintain. Pools are ongoing. Your expense you have now is about typical. But all that said, you've added a pressure cleaning responsibility. You've repainted the entranceways. You've not repainted the pool area in a while. All that said, for the last few months, staff, and myself especially, has mentioned that you probably should be looking at an increase to your assessment. Board gave direction that was acceptable and to present a budget that included the assessment. Your current rate for assessment is $475 per unit. And backing up a little bit, the concept of your community, where I was involved with the original owner of the land, and they had two properties in South Florida that they were going to do the same way. And they really designed them to be as little staffing as possible. The clubhouse doesn't have an office in it. That's a good indicator that there was no intent to have like a homeowner association rep or a CDD rep on site. Pros and cons. It makes for a less expensive clubhouse, but it also challenges us for that day-to-day operation. And I would characterize your operation as volunteer-driven, meaning the gentlemen at the head of the table here in the last 5 or 6 years, if not longer, have really given an enormous amount of their personal time and hours to dedicating to policing the pool, to identifying repair problems, to helping me coordinate those repair problems, meeting vendors. I mean, you guys have really filled, as volunteers, a lot of that role. And I know that's probably not a full-time commitment, I would say. So when I put together the draft budget, I did the $150 in option one, which brings it to $625. Unfortunately, I could not really balance the budget correctly with that amount of money. It wasn't enough. And I'm balancing it to another $125 or so to $732 to give you a budget that does all of the things that you are responsible for a long period of time. It's sort of a one-stop shop. If you were to only adopt the $150, you will be going back to your residence in the next 2 to 3 years with another increase. That's my because I cannot put a budget with volunteer hours on it.
So to recap.
Yes.
We're at 300.
You're at 475.
475. Okay. That's the addition.
The addition goes to 625, is an interim step, but the actual correct budget I'm recommending to you is all the way to 732.
Which is an additional 257.
It should be 256, yeah, 257.
Does that give us any balance?
Yeah, so the ideal CDD budget does a couple things. One is it has placeholders for the known expenses. Whether you get them every year or not isn't as important as that you have a good amount of money sitting there for pool repairs, for painting, for a roof, for, you know, the big stuff. You'll build up reserves. The second component of a CDD budget is what we call first quarter operating. Districts are governments, and we get our revenue starting in late December, sometimes in January, meaning you assess on the tax bill. Tax bills go out. Not everybody pays in November 1st, and even if they did, we don't actually get the cash. So what happens to a district who has a landscaper, who has staff, who has these expenses? You have to have extra cash every year to cover October, November, and December expenses. So what we've done the last 3 or 4 years is we've tried to kind of catch up on those maintenance items that were never, you know, that were starting to show up, that were really never budgeted. We use that reserve money, and we've eaten it down to the point where it's down to like $18,000. Well, $18,000 is not a full three quarters, it's short. So you will eventually run out of discretionary money. In fact, you will next year. And this was all discussed many times, and the board understood that. And here we are. So what's in this budget that I just talked about? One of which is, backing up one more time, the idea of management for your community was that because there has to be an HOA in Florida, in South Florida particularly, Dade County requires it, basically. So your homeowner association, where you're going to regulate what we call architectural elements, like painting and where you put your garbage cans, and things that sometimes cities enforce, but you're not in a city, you're in a county. You have no municipal oversight, so you kind of have to, as a community, police a lot of the day-to-day behaviors of the residents to keep everyone at a high level and to retain property value, right? So you don't want people coming up with a weird color or a new roof that doesn't match, all of these things that might be allowed by code, but would not be your acceptable in a uniform.
Official brands.
Yeah, so the HOA has a permanent required role in your community, right? So the idea was the HOA would be in place and be operating, and the CDD would fund the HOA a little bit of money to provide that day-to-day element, which has been volunteered by myself. I mean, I know I'm a contractor, but it's not in my contract to do many of the things I do. But to get you know, through those days of transition, I was happy to do that. And also largely on the shoulders of the volunteers, which two of them are here today. So the HOA floundered. It went through at least three management companies in the last 4 years, and they've never had an arrangement that matched the strategy that I've just described. We don't have somebody, and this isn't about Wendy or her firm, this is just what's happened in the past. So we've deviated from that model, and I'm recommending that you permanently give up on that model allow the HOA to do whatever the HOA needs to do, and the CDD needs to do what it needs to do, which is protect its property, maintain its property, and protection means on-site supervision of it on a more regular basis. That's not a volunteer. Again, board members are not responsible, or really shouldn't be in that role. It's really a conflict of interest in my world. So that said, I increased the security and pool attendant and added in an amount for field management. Now, my firm can provide to you a full-time field manager. I usually charge between $20,000 to $40,000 a year for a field manager, but I have a lot of synergy in this area with Ben and Myra behind me that can perform $20,000 to $30,000 worth of day-to-day oversight of your property for only $1,000 a month. And they will work out of this facility, so you don't have an office on site, so they gotta work somewhere nearby. This is pretty close. I'm offering that as part of option two. Moving down, if you're on page one.
Hold on 1 second. So budget.
Hey, Paul,
that,
go
ahead, Carlos.
Go ahead, Alden, maybe you'll have the same question I do.
My question on that option two, that's what we're looking at, right?
Yes.
That $1,000 is already budgeted into that.
The 12,000, it's there. Yeah, if you're on page one of the budget under maintenance, it's the first line item. I added field management as a proposed option for you.
Okay.
So the next one is the security and pool.
Hold on. Carlos, do you have a question?
Go ahead, Carlos.
So this security person that you're saying is $1,000, how much, a month or a year?
It's for field management, which is basically supervision of your property on a regular basis. Meaning somebody who keeps track of the contractor, somebody who responds when something's broken, they go look at it, somebody who meets the contractor, all of those activities, you guys do them as volunteers. Particularly Tony and Russ have always done them. You shouldn't be doing that. You should have staff that does that. And this, I'm proposing a solution to that. The second line item is the security. Security and pool attendant. One of the things that you don't have is a full-time observation of your pool, other than our best effort with cameras. What you need, and we've talked about this many times, is somebody hired that comes at peak use of the pool time, actually a little before, and begins to develop habits of your residents that don't break your rules. And basically enforces the rules. It serves as our representative to call the police and issue trespassing if somebody's violating those rules. Those are all things you don't have, but you as a board have volunteered from time to time. So that I'm raising that to about $30,000. Good.
Okay, just
so that I'm showing at in option one at $20,000, option two at $30,000. And those are really, you know, these are discussion numbers for today and for the adoption meeting. And I have pricing for you of what it would take, but it really is about you. What level of attention do you want to put at it?
How much buffer do you think we'll have with option two?
Well, the idea, this is me as a finance director sitting here. You need these because ultimately your needs will match this number. You may not buy them year one, you may not buy them year two, but by year three,
okay,
it'll evolve to that.
You also mentioned hurricane pickup.
Exactly. Yep.
Last time we talked.
Yeah, so all these placeholder things, and there's some contingencies in here I'll get to or show them, those add up to money that you will not spend year one, two, or three. I don't think.
You don't have a massive hurricane.
So the next hurricane that hits, and you guys, your trees were brand new when Irma hit. You had very little expensive damage. And a lot of people put in their own tree. You know, we know that's, we don't go down that rabbit hole. But the point is, you're going to have debris. Who's going to move that debris out of the way, you know, for people and start moving it out of there? The county is not going to come running very quickly. The best option for you is to use the county's contractor and say, you know, we'll pay you through our FEMA reimbursement. But the problem is you need a fully bid, federally procured debris hauler to accomplish it. You're not going to want to wait for that. All right, you can't bid for some. Nobody will bid on your community. There's no way you can hire a contractor to meet the federal requirements that will look at your community and say, can't wait to help you. Last thing in the world they're going to do is, nothing against Hemingway, it's just the way the industry works. They go to the biggest municipality or jurisdiction they can get a contract with, and that's who they go to first. And if you're on their list and you have a contract with them, you'll see them about 2 months later. That's too long. So you need some money to be able to throw at a landscape company right away to get it out of your way and take your chances with reimbursement. That's reality. Go ahead.
Question with that, with the hurricane stuff. Are we able to apply for FEMA?
Yeah, so FEMA, the that first...
I said a little bit.
Yeah, so to use FEMA, you have to have a fully procured contractor in most cases. The first 5 or 6 days, and I'm using Irma as real world, which we're still trying to get reimbursed for all across the state of Florida. Mm-hmm. And how many years is that? It's like 5 years now, right? You are eligible. The rules have gotten very cumbersome, where districts have had very poor success actually getting fully reimbursed. It's reality. The strategy now is to, here in Homestead, you have a little better connection to your municipality. You tell the municipality, we want you in our neighborhood. We'll do our part, you do your part, you can get the reimbursement, we'll get the reimbursement. We don't care, just use your contractor, because you hired that contractor through a large bid process that will meet the rules. What happened in almost every district I have for the first time is they refused to acknowledge your in-house contractor. They said, no, you didn't hire them through a full bid. What we used to do is, we do a bid for landscaping, but we don't do a special bid just for hurricane removal. So what was best practice was every June, each contractor would issue you their rates for the upcoming hurricane season in advance. FEMA said that worked. That was before the storm, so there's no gouging. We love it. Well, they changed their mind at Irma. They said, no. You needed to hire your landscaper as a debris hauler. It needed to be a federal procurement, which is a whole nother 10,000 layers, way out of our league in terms of who's going to work for us. Even in this community, who has 2,200 homes, couldn't do it. We could not pull it off. So without a local government to piggyback on and work with, your next best assistant government-wise is the county. I don't see anybody here saying, oh, good, that's a great thing. We're set. No, you're not going to see them for 2 months.
So, Paul, let me ask you a question.
Yep. So, yeah, you hit the head of the nail. What about a hurricane?
Yeah, so let me ask you another question.
You need money.
I just want to, option two, you're saying we'll cover us.
Yeah.
So when I did the numbers, it's like $21.42 that'll be added monthly to our mortgage.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
It's $257 extra dollars that will be assessed. Okay.
Unless I'm doing something wrong here, we're going to have no surplus at all.
Okay. The budget has to balance. It's the way fund accounting budgeting works. So the zero. So if you go up from the bottom line where it says zero to the total expenditures and the total maintenance dollars, there's a $10,000 contingency line. I did put the holiday lighting in there. That was requested. I have a bid for that. I have a price for you for that. Several pricing.
That's already in there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's in here. So these line items, and there's a couple, tree trimming. At 3,000 is actually a tad light, to be honest with you. But above that, landscape maintenance and repairs and maintenance, those are pretty heavy. Those are the worst scenarios you've ever presented annually. That's high. So what that means is like $4,000 to $8,000 a year the first year probably won't be used. So boom, that hits the bottom line. Now the beginning of every budget, if you look at the very top, it says carry forward surplus on here and the revenue line. If you follow that line back to the adopted budget in 2021, we carried over $51,000 this time last year.
Right.
And we spent it. So we only have about $12,000 that we're carrying over into the 2022 budget, regardless of what assessment you approve. You're going to be tight. Now there is in the option one, there, you know, that has a little under $10,000 in contingency. Again, some of these line items are I wouldn't say rounded up, they're placeholder in a lot of respects. They're not contracted that exact amount. So at the bottom of the line, at the end of the day, you still have control on what you spend on an attendant, what you spend on repairs and maintenance.
So we're essentially building money in to balance that budget.
To balance it, to hit all known responsibilities. The only, you know, there is a piece missing in the repairs and maintenance that I don't have pricing yet. which I'll get before your budget hearing, is to inspect your drains and to do what we like to recommend is a 30% cleaning every year. You have French drains everywhere. They don't clean like pipes, you know, because basically it's a pipe to a bunch of rock or just through the rock in this area if you're in the cap rock, and then once it's through the rock, it drains into the water table. That type of drain doesn't necessarily clog up like a gravity line, like most, we have lakes. The lines that connect to lakes are gravity, they're at a pitch and the water reaches there by gravity. When the lake's low, it flows faster. That's a lot more expensive to maintain because you can see it and you can clean it. On the flip side, French drains are harder to clean because it's an inexact cleaning. You can clean the drain right around it. The way drains work, and this is kind of what we do in maintenance, is as it comes in from the street, it goes down into a pit. And then that pipe goes horizontal to the drain field or the French section of it. Right. What we do is we look at the bottom of that pit. There's a recess in it of about 6 to 8 inches. When that's full, that means the next sediment isn't going to go to that trap. It's going to go into the pipe and it's going to start messing up the drain area. So what we do is when that bottom area is close to full, we mark that for cleaning. And you do those, and if you do the ones that need it. And I don't know your situation, we've never inspected it, but that's not in here, you know, spelled out. It should be probably. A community like this, we budget about 15, 17, about 20,000, but we also do all the community. In this area, it's much more complicated with the lakes and everything. For you, I would say about 5,000 a year would be a good placeholder.
Every year you gotta do that?
Yeah.
You have a ballpark figure how many drains you have?
No idea.
Go ahead, Carl.
Quick question. So I'm curious. So I'm looking at this, and you're saying that the cap for the tax stuff, right? You're saying that it would be per unit $732.09.
Yes.
You said that FY20 was $475.
Correct.
But if I look at my tax record, it says Penny Point CED. Last year I paid $1,520.66.
Okay. Yeah. We're talking about operations and maintenance. You automatically have a debt payment that goes on for 30 years since it started in 2013 or 2015 to pay the debt. That's about $700, $600 per unit already. That we're not talking about, that won't change.
An additional $240 for the year. So every resident is getting on basically about $20 a month, right?
Exactly.
So, and my other question is it normal? Because I thought that in other communities, it's HOAs that are responsible for holiday lighting. Is it normal for CDDs to put that into their budgets versus the HOA to have in their budget? Because
yeah, good question. It's a question of... Right.
But well, in reality, CBD, I mean, it's not a lot money that is there, but it's still something. And I don't see where all that money is CBD or that the HOA is. I'm not talking about anybody or anything. I'm just saying. Correctly.
Yeah, I. Let me answer you, Carlos. Right, I understand. I understand that reaction. It's a question of ownership. It's a question of ownership. The HOA does not own the entry feature, and they do not own the clubhouse. And there is no history of them of the HOA volunteering to decorate them. So it was residential volunteers that did it, is my understanding. So the funding has never been real to count on. Should that come to light, no pun intended, that the HOA were going to fund holiday lighting, you're absolutely right. You never want to have two parties billing, charging for the same service and overtaxing your residents or charging your residents. That what's happened in reality is the HOA has not risen to that level of participation. Had they, this budget conversation would be, assessment's going to be the same, The HOA did all the things we originally budgeted for, and it's no harm or foul. It's just reality is this district is being tasked with all of these maintenance and these operational requirements that it didn't budget for 5-10 years ago. And because of that, it's time. You need to adjust, and we've agreed we need to adjust the budget. I'm showing you the numbers that I think get you into a more stable assessment where you won't have to increase it every year, one, a little bit at a time. Rather than do that. Yeah.
So,
is it normal, Paul? If you were to say out of 100 CEDs, how many of them have holiday lighting that goes into their budget?
About 50 out of 100. Two to one.
I'm still learning, so that's why I want to make sure that I don't want anybody to look and we all of a sudden don't have that.
Yeah, and CEDs, because of their 100% revenue, like we get 100% of what we ask for, and because it's I don't want to say hidden, but it's in the tax bill, it tends to be a more palatable place for a lot of these expenses, and it's designed to be a finance generating entity. That is one of the biggest jobs of a CDD. So there we're built.
When did you just put in the HOA does budget for decoration?
We would drop it or use it for something else.
Carlos.
If our homeowner, if we can put it in one place and put it that's where it is, then that's where it should be. We shouldn't have
Carlos.
Carlos, can I interrupt you? We are not the HOA, and this is not an HOA board meeting.
And you're stuck on the fact that the HOA, you seem to feel that they need to pay for the lighting. It's not their property, and it's not our job to take care of them or to make excuses for them or to supplement them.
Yeah.
We have a budget somewhere else, and where our residents are already paying for lighting and whatever else, and now we're saying, hey, we're going to also charge you over here for holiday lighting and whatever else. To me, you need to look at that.
Stuck on that.
I'm trying to compare what people find in our own
community.
And if we have money in an HOA budget, then why are we trying to put money into a CD budget? Now people are paying money for the same thing in two different places.
Okay, the only monies that ever came from the HOA were a dollar-for-dollar reimbursement to Tony and his wife for the, please forgive me, but less than reasonable.
What you pay for is what you get.
Direct decorations.
Yeah.
So since the HOA has no interest in either beautifying or decorating our properties, we are going to decorate it. Now, when you drive up to our property and you see the decorations that less than $1,000 will buy, don't you think to yourself, wow, look at all the other communities around us. Look at all the beautiful displays they have. Don't you think that ours is looking like...
Lindsay just put in the chat that the HOA does budget for decorations. So what is that amount?
I get it. What did they decorate?
So, all I'm saying is, if we're going to talk about budgets, we should look at what's for the community. And if it's me, if I wasn't on this board and I saw all of a sudden my things went up 10 grand a year, and then I see an HOA thing that says they're certain amount, I'm going to ask the question, why am I paying for decoration?
Well, that's a question you need to ask of the HOA, not of us. It's our property.
So, Carlos,
I'm saying that for me, on this board, and we're elected by our people out there in our neighborhood. I'm thinking as a resident to say, what I want $10, should we have a $10 in or not? I think we should do, us as a board should do due diligence to say, hey, are we double charging our residents?
Okay, so for, we got your point, Carlos, I got to cut you off because I got your point. It's in the budget as a draft budget. Nothing's permanent. So That can be direct. That can be direction to staff. That could be direction to staff as part of this discussion to ask the HOA to confirm that they are not also budgeting for this item.
So, Carlos, to answer that a little bit, I was going to bring this up later, but you brought it up now. So what I'm going to, there's no reason, I think $10,000 is a lot. I'm not going to lie to you. I looked at the things, and it's a lot of money. So why can't we go to the HOA and say, at one of the meetings, I can bring it up or whatever. I'm not on the HOA anymore, but I can bring it up at the meeting and say, look, I don't have an issue spending maybe half of that if you guys fund the other half, and then that way, whatever the total is going to be.
Yeah, and I'm going to advise entirely against that approach because you have no history of that working. In other communities, you don't.
No. All right, well,
so if you're going to be successful and use everyone's dollars effectively and efficiently, you need to pick job and entity and keep them assigned separately. There is no shared history in your community. So what would happen is, since you're not on the HOA board or you're not on the CDD board, the future board might go a different way, and now one entity is going to get stuck with the half the bill all the time. So I would totally recommend against that for your greater community, that you own the vertical property that can be decorated. You should budget for it, and you should provide the service. If you didn't own it,
I understand that totally. I'm just trying to offset some of the
Yeah, no, the logic makes sense for you, but the reality of it would be a disaster.
I'm okay with that. If the worst thing may happen here, but then of course, then if the HOA has it in there, then of course we would go and dispute that with the HOA. Okay, if we already have it here, we don't think.
Yeah, let it be their problem. But since you own the facilities, since you are the owners of the vertical property, I think it's in your best, it's in the greater community's efficiency to let that entity take care of it.
And plus, this is, in all reality, this is actually your field. You know that when you write a budget, you're not necessarily going to spend the money that you're budgeting for, but you're budgeting for contingencies in the future. So there's a $10,000 budget, but that doesn't mean we're going to spend $10,000. We're going to get the most cost-effective holiday lighting that's beautiful and that's it.
Yeah.
And there's $10,000 in the budget just in case of an emergency or a contingency.
Yeah, so
all of these items.
And we priced.
Some of us that may be okay, but there's other people that money could be something that they use and they need. So that's the only thing I'm saying. We should look at that, especially in these times going up. We should look at are we spending other people's community, their money, the best that we can. I'm not saying that I won't do that, that I say throw it out, but I say we should do our due diligence because Wendy put in the chat that they do budget decoration. I don't know how much they budget decoration, so we should at least check that before we put it in our budget. Because if they have it, or we pass it, or we put it in ours, and then we go back and have a debate with them.
Carlos, I agree with you on that, buddy, but I want you to realize this, okay? I agree with you on that. We're talking about $21.42 a month. They can stop going to Starbucks for twice, a week or whatever. They got to budget their money. This is stuff that we need to do to build up our surplus and have money to make our community look good. The HOA, if it was up to me, buddy, we wouldn't be paying the HOA.
Yeah, because maybe there's 30 residents who don't go to the campus, don't holiday, just don't do it. So that's all I'm saying. We should think and talk about people's money. Regardless, maybe you and I are okay, and maybe we can stop going to Starbucks, but maybe there's other people that don't go to Starbucks. They fight for their money.
You're right. We live in $380,000 homes, comprehend it, that they can't pay $21 extra a month.
Everyone takes that differently. That issue, if you divide it out to make it equal to like an HOA payment, and that's another way to always talk about this is the cost of living in your community versus whose budget it's in. Definitely don't want it to be in both budgets simultaneously and be inefficient. That isn't being presented, nor would it ever be. But most communities that have a much bigger HOA presence, their CDD operating budget goes down, or it should. That doesn't always, but it should. And in your case, you have a very small footprint of your HOA. The only responsibilities I've seen from the HOA are architectural compliance. And
there's no responsibility there anyway.
Right. I don't want to get into that. That's not our job. But the point is, there isn't an amenity center. There isn't property to maintain. you are the property owners in the community that, other than private ownership. So you are the responsible party. So you need to budget accordingly and manage accordingly to perform your responsibilities. We've gotten through it while we were, you know, in my mind was waiting to see if the HOA evolved into a bigger footprint. That doesn't seem to be the plan, and that's okay. It's just because it's not the plan, you have to, as your responsibility as a board is to fix that. So option two, again, took all the landscape lighting and put it in there. You can split the difference. You can go whatever you're comfortable with financially, adding to your assessment, but each one is a trade-off. The way the holiday lighting worked is we used basically, in my mind, the only viable option for a contractor is, and there are others, but the only one that actually does the job 12 months of the year is CDI. That's who we got the price from. They store the equipment, they put it up, and they check it every day. If you don't use a company like them, you're going to need volunteers, and you're going to pay more to fix it than to actually put it up. That's a reality of over 30 years of putting up holiday lighting in communities. This company is the only one that actually does it as a full-time profession. The ones that hire landscapers and part-time off-duty firemen, they find labor right around the holidays, that it's always been hit or miss, and then you're buying the equipment every year, or you're losing it, or it's broken in between each year. So your investment in the lights, especially the quality of the LED now, they store it for you, and they make sure it's working each year as part of it. And what that does for you is over 3 years, you will recoup what a lot of people overspend or would have spent anyway. So
I understand completely.
Yeah, it's a really good service.
All right.
So all that said, you don't have to buy the lighting today, but you need to tell what I'm asking you to do now that we've digested the concepts of the budget is to tell me what number you want as your highest number, the full option two, or do you want to start off with a lower number than that? I don't recommend it, but it's your ultimate decision.
And keep in mind, if you were to decide on option one, you can't go back after notice has been sent out and then go back to option two. Right. So you can always...
Yeah, there's a ceiling.
Yes.
You're setting the ceiling.
The last thing that we need is a shortfall in the future.
Yeah, you're headed to one very quickly.
I see it already.
Or you're going to have to defer maintenance like what was happening 5 years ago.
Right.
I'm okay with option two.
Okay.
I don't have an issue with option two.
Okay.
It's $20.
Yeah. All right, Carlos. We got two people who have already said they're cool with option two. So that's
three.
There's three. So really, procedurally, what we need to talk about is the adoption process and the date. The effect of that means you need to have an adoption hearing in a public place, and this facility would be available to you, and it's big enough for your community to attend. There'll be certainly a virtual option. If I think there's going to be, which there will be, a lot of people who want to attend, we'll invest in the audiovisual requirements so that your audience can really participate. We'll make sure that that's done right. The challenge will be to set the adoption date. Because of a mailing and in the summer and COVID and all those things, August 25th is within range of an acceptable date to adopt. It has to be at least 60 days from now. So and the further out, I think the better you're being to your residents. That's my opinion.
August what? 25th?
Did I say 25th?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So my recommendation then is for a motion to approve resolution 2106, option two, setting the public hearing on August 25th. And the mailing will go out 30 days in advance, I'll have a letter that'll say a lot of complicated budgeting stuff because it's required, but I'll also say these are the items we're increasing it for, savings for money for hurricane recovery, money for deferred maintenance of our facility, I'll spell it out.
Full attendance, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Security is great.
Right. And I'll try to put in more, the right language that nobody will read, but they'll read increase, they'll read who do I yell at, and then I start to get yelled at. So.
All right, so I'd like to make a motion that we accept resolution 2021
for the August 25th date.
06 and option two.
And option two.
Is there a second?
I second it.
Thank you. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
I oppose to the option two, but I accept to the time of the meeting, I guess.
Okay, so I'll put you as a nay. Because the motion was for option two. All right, so that motion passes 3-1. Thank you for that.
One more question before we leave that.
Yeah.
Less disc and call. What's DISC and call? COL.
Discounts and where do you see it? So okay.
In the maintenance assessments.
Discount and collection costs. Okay. So call is short for collection costs. Yeah. So when you pay your tax bill, if you pay it November 1, you get
4%. 4%. Right.
So we have to build that into the price.
Okay, so then our total assessment will be less $11,750 to a total of $235,478.
No, $223,250 is the actual. Yeah, the actual budget you're always adopting is the full amount. We're pulling.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm good.
So this is proposed for that date. This, I forgot to say time. You do have an option of changing the time. So it's up to you. The 2:00. Always works best for me, but I'm lowly staff. Okay.
Well, I mean, if our residents can't be, zoom in, I think you might want to push it a little bit later.
We can do 4 or 6 or whatever. It's up to you.
I'm thinking 6:00 just because there are people that are working and they'll want to be on it. They'll want to understand why their, tax bill every year is going to go up, so. And hopefully you can also provide us with some reports that we can give to them, which sort of like, here's what your annual cost is and what it's going to be budgeted.
Yeah, we can summarize the budget into more bulleted.
It's not your function.
I meant just asking if you can provide a report.
Yeah, I know, but as the board member, it's not your function to disseminate information.
I always want to
manage this company function.
It's a different thing with you, right?
No, it's your job to tell me to do it.
Yeah.
So back to the motion, is there a motion to set the time? Other than 2:00. If there's no motion, we move on.
I think 6:00 is what we should.
Is that a motion?
That is a motion for me?
Yes. Is there a second to alter the time for 6 p.m.? Thank you, Carlos. So we would be in discussion then. It's up to you guys. We can certainly.
I'm good with the times. Whatever you guys think is better is good for me.
Just think of the residents. I mean, if they want to be able, we should give them the opportunity on. This isn't going to be pertaining to that.
Most districts have one or two night meetings a year that meet earlier in the day to accommodate, the business side of it. But for the resident side of it, a night meeting was more appropriate. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Thank you for that. I should have mentioned it at the beginning. I apologize. Brings us to staff reports. Mr. Scott.
Nothing specific to report at this time. There is something we'll be presenting when we do our annual legislative budget, or not budget, our legislative update in May or June with some new legislation that's been passed regarding COVID-related claims. So I'll let you know about that at that time. If you guys want, I can give you the executive version now, but just let you know that's coming up. But we'll meet again before the Form 1s come, so save that for another time.
Okay. Any questions for attorney? Have nothing to report on your engineer, although what we will do is take the drainage plans that we have through our engineer and get them priced out by a drain cleaning company. We use a couple in this area. Cliff Berry's pretty good. They're usually the best price. And they'll give us a price so I can put that in the report on what it would take to do drain cleaning. But our engineer will identify the drains that are critical and on the plans. Under manager, we've covered everything. The executive orders have all been taken back for our pool, so we're eligible to operate the pool any way we see fit. The idea for you today is to talk about, do you want to start an attendant for the summer? Ben was able to pull together a security company pricing. I will warn you, hiring right now is completely impossible. Most of the companies, when you come to them with a new requirement, they go to their personnel side and say, I need you to hire five new people to handle Hemingway. They don't have them sitting on a bench somewhere waiting to work. And because of the COVID incentive programs, the hourly wage world is almost unemployable. Mm-hmm. So if we can find somebody, it's great. A couple of them said, we'll give you a price, but I'm not going to have any bodies for you when you're ready to start. But this company we're comfortable. They have the staffing in place to help us.
You guys are going to have to go with a smaller company that's looking to prove themselves right now at this point in time is what it's looking like.
The bigger guys.
Do we need an armed security guard?
No, it's just they always price it that way.
Okay.
So our question with this, the reason why this is up is because we've been having, which you guys don't, you don't know because I've been dealing with it, because I can't tell you. We've been having some issues at the pool on the weekends and holidays again. Big parties, loud music, trash in the place. So I asked Paul to get some quotes on how to tend it. We're leaving the gates open, the kids are in there trashing every weekend and holiday now. And it's not just kids, it is residents. So I know we've had that discussion a few times. And that's where this is coming from. I just wanted to get some prices to see where we're at with this stuff. It's almost every weekend now. Again, we're back to this again. They're manipulating the bathroom locks, as we know from recent events. And God knows what else. I know we put a solid metal panel on the back gate of the pool because they actually pried the mesh out to pop the gate from the back.
Yeah.
So we did that. We welded that. I don't think we've had an issue with that since.
No, not that I know of. The only recommendation our security consultant had would be to put a camera on that gate as well, and we might be able to.
I think we have plenty of cameras. To be honest, we can see them coming in from other cameras.
Well, if you wanted to ID the person.
Yeah, I can see the gate.
But we can see them as they're sitting around the pool anyway. I mean, they're not going to go anywhere.
Right.
Well, I think we need to pay for another camera. I mean, to be honest with you.
Something he mentioned.
That's just the way I feel about it. I don't know how you guys feel about it. I know they've been messing with the gates again. But a lot of them that are having issues with the pool, it's not outside people. It's the residents throwing a lot of parties and inviting like another 50 people to the pool, which they're not allowed to be doing. I know Carlos's backside is to the pool pretty much, but I just want to get a good grasp on some prices on maybe an attendant. That's where we're at with it right now. I can't do it every weekend. I don't have the patience. And I'm not
you shouldn't
to
be doing it, yeah.
When we first started this, we all had that issue.
I forget. I had to go over there a couple times.
Yeah, I know. It's not. You shouldn't have to do that. And you know.
I 100% have stuck in anything.
I know it's an ongoing. We had a lull for a while, and now that summer's here, now we're starting to pick back up again with the drama at the pool. That's why I wanted to know where this was coming from. So I asked Paul to get at least one or two prices for me for the meeting, and at least we can talk about it until we figure out what we want to do.
I personally find you have a huge exposure.
Last time we went to the pool, my wife and I were in the pool, and my wife got hit in the head by and the lady was like, you shouldn't have been in the way, right?
Right.
Her kid nailed her in the head, and we haven't been back to the pool. So I'm all for an attendant.
We're going to have
no matter what it costs.
At some point.
Right? It's just an added value add for living in Hemingway, living in our community, I think. That's how we look at it.
And at some point, we'll have to make that decision and pull that trigger. But I wanted to let you know where it was coming from, so you guys weren't like, "Why is this?"
This has been before this board several times. Yep. We actually were trying to hire somebody last summer, or the one before. Excuse me, last summer we didn't have any problem because it was chained.
Just background checks. We don't want guys.
Well, that's why we hire a company that has a security background, because their security vetting is higher than a typical.
Yeah. And I want to make sure that if we do pull the trigger on this, that they have our rules and regulations that we have. Like
we'll orient them and train them.
It'll stop some of the.
You always come up with post orders based on the rules and.
Yeah, and that's what we're gonna have to figure out once we have that.
That's pretty easy.
But that party thing with 50 people.
It's been out of control.
You have to go show up.
So where we're at now, this is preliminary. I mean, if you're not ready to make a decision yet, I'm sure I can come up with some more options for you.
Well, I want to have at least one more.
Okay.
I don't want to just do it on one.
Got it. I
understand. I want to make sure that we're, like Carlos was saying earlier, that we're at least...
Well, you definitely want to be ready by middle May.
Yes.
Or late May to pull the trigger.
Can you bring it to us next time? Get us some
I'm working on it. Like I said, I reached out. You know what I like to do typically, and what Paul likes to do is, we work in a lot of districts now, so it's recommend somebody we work with, you know. And I have reached out to some of those companies, and like Paul said, they're big operations, and they're like, look, I'll give you a price, but, you know.
Yeah, the timing of getting labor is really tricky right now.
Yeah, I mean, you didn't hire anybody.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm saying, hey, we have to have that option. I want to have at least two different.
I have some ideas, though. I have some ideas I can come back to you guys with.
Is that good, Carlos? Is that fair? At least two different options for an attendant? So that way we're within that. Nobody can say that, all right, we hired the first one type of thing. You're good? Okay.
All right, we'll do that. So no action, but it's before you.
I want to see one more before we.
Right. The other thing I was going to just, I had a conversation with Russ at the beginning before you guys were here, but basically our credential rollout, and I mentioned at the last meeting, I was going to transition it away from the bulk approach to an individual approach, meaning one at a time person applies, they get entered into the system. We were doing batches of 20 or 25 at the beginning. So I've moved the responsibility from my office to the office here, which handles your property for me. And Myra's around here somewhere, but she's been basically calling the person back, holding their hand through the whole process, because the group that's not registered or set up is either new to the idea or had trouble with the way we did it before. And so we've responded to everyone that's requested an application. They've gotten the codes. There's one or two comedic, you know, responses to, you know, to dozens of emails and phone calls to husbands and wives, and I've still been accused of never responding. So whatever the case may be, we're working hard with your wonderful neighbors to get them the right access, and so far so good.
We estimate about 40-50 have been done since the last meeting, so you're not a big community. I say that's about a quarter there, and I know there's more than one person per household.
Yeah, we had
it's getting hot, so people
Well, and the pool's open.
That's
so, issue, so. So we're getting there, and you know the customer service crew that's here is well vetted, and they know how to make everybody happy. So we'll get them happy. So that's going quite well. I don't have anything else. We appreciate your enthusiasm. The best way now is on our website, the HemingwayPointCDD.com. On the bottom left is a box that says pool. In there you'll see access application. You click on that.
I'm not the application.
Okay.
I'll text you over the weekend. That's how long it takes to get my code.
Oh yeah, I remember you now.
The whole process, give or take, Carlos, from us receiving the application to you getting a code and to it being activated is about a business day. So if you're asking on a Friday, you expect sometime that Monday. Yeah. If you follow all the steps accordingly, you should have access to the pool.
Who would that come from? Because I don't remember getting an email telling me how to do it. Just so maybe if we have enough to understand, I can tell other people to ask.
So it's two different... It's a different email address than the first one you sent it to. I think it's the security company's email. That's what you gotta look for. Not from Paul, right? It's
right.
A different email address. It comes from the security company.
Yeah, so once you apply, I can't remember how it looks.
I forget, yeah.
Maybe we could add that
That's
to
where
the website
was
to say
for
who the email will come from.
They were looking for Paul's response, but it wasn't from Paul's company. It was the code comes from security.
DML security.
Yeah, I'll add that on. I'll add that to the application and the website.
I haven't seen anything. That's why I'm wondering if they got to delete it or when
is it DML?
Yeah, DML. It's DML security.
DML,
I know that.
I think. I'm trying to get into the
website. I just don't know the exact email address, but I know the company is DML security.
What is it? Can you spell that?
Letter D, letter M, letter L. Delta Mike Lima. DML. But I'll double check yours and see where it is in the process. But once we get the application from you, it comes automatically. We enter you into the system. You get an email from the system. It's really, it's this portal that sets up the credentials, and then you set it up on your phone. So you're in that process somewhere. I'll find out where.
Did that answer your question?
Okay. Any other questions under staff reports? Your financials are in the book. If you want to take a look at those, or a motion to accept them would be appreciated. Anybody gone swimming in the fountain since it's got water?
Finally, it's been working.
Let me tell you something, though. Besides fixing the jets the first time around, then we found a leak right up against where the wall is, and I put it in the field reports. You can see exactly where that leak was. This guy did an amazing job to not even have to break your cement there. That was fixed. Then somebody went and tampered with it. It's simple as somebody with a, and I try to send Paul, I can always send it to you, Tony, little videos, because my pool guy is so good that he'll send me a WhatsApp video, a minute and a half long, literally walking me through like forensics exactly what happened.
No, I like that. That's good.
Yeah. And somebody's just playing with the valves. It's supposed to be about halfway the water for all the fountains to be working. He found, you know, an empty beer bottle in there, and somebody was having a drink playing with your valves. So when it was shooting into the street the other day, that's the case. And I just want to let you guys know, if any of you guys catch that, try to call me or Paul. I mean, you will have more attentive staff helping you out with that. But when it starts leaking out to the street like that, it takes, because of the water pressure, about 3 hours to fill that thing. Whoa. So
I've thrown out, there's a homeless guy who was camping out there.
Oh, he has a home now.
So I've thrown out his stuff and I've kicked him out a couple of times. He hasn't been back for a while.
Temporary home.
Night or something. So,
got it.
Sleeping in a tent.
He's been camping out.
Yeah, it's got a roof on it.
Yeah, he's been camping.
What else do you need? Free water?
I've caught him a few times that I've driven through. He just has a whole meal in there. He uses trash in there.
Yeah, so going back to the idea of a security attendant at the pool, that person could also, doesn't have to sit at the pool the whole time.
True.
They could
I'm a matter of trusting when I tell you, let them do the pool. That's
right.
We'll handle that outside thing.
All right.
That's a random thing, but
yeah.
The pool is going to be a separate.
But that's one of the things the attendant can do, is if there's nobody
during
there.
During slower hours of operation, you
they
know
can
what I
do
mean?
A drive-through. They don't have to just sit and stare at an empty pool.
I'm okay with the budget.
The financials?
Yeah,
financials. Is that a motion?
Yeah, motion.
Is there a second?
A second.
You guys, all in favor?
Aye.
All right.
Aye.
Thank you, Carlos. Anything else? You guys might want to send your well wishes to Cheryl. If you have her contact information on a personal level, just wish her well. I already did, and I think Tony might have already.
She's not feeling good, so she's waiting on some tests. So we'll just leave
it. We miss her. Any other comments or a motion to let Tony eat the rest of his lunch?
No, it's okay. I got one.
Go ahead.
There's another dead palm in the center I passed today. It's just dead. I don't know why they keep dying out over there.
They need some TLC, which we included in the budget.
Yeah.
So
they boost me up or whatever it is. I texted Paul last weekend, I think it was, or last week. There's the kids. On my backside, the backside of the fence is a little canal or a channel. There's a metal mesh fence that they put up, a little 4-foot fence. The kids actually, instead of going over it because they're so lazy now, they actually ripped the fence in half. They pulled it apart. That still hasn't been fixed. We got to fix that, because if a little kid goes in there and falls
that fence, because what I was going to do, you wanted wood.
Initially, but we have to get that fixed.
Yeah, did they see it?
I'll follow up on it.
Okay, so, yeah, we ordered our quick repair, and it hasn't happened quick enough.
And it's a 6-foot hole, and the kids just go straight through it now and jump off the bridge into that little channel.
I thought the picture you sent me was at the end of a cul-de-sac.
It is.
Okay.
It's at the end of a cul-de-sac. So
and it's next to Ozzy's
coming in. It's
they come from another development, and they drive their bikes, and like 10 of them, and I yelled at them a few times. And they park the little bikes there, and they actually cut the chain link straight down and rip the fence apart.
Yeah.
You could probably use a higher grade mesh that's a little more difficult to cut.
Well, what I want to do, initially we got to get it fixed just for now.
Okay.
But I want to put a 6-foot wooden fence on those two ends of that development so the kids can't, you know, tear it up anymore. That way we don't have any more issues.
Sure.
And that way, because that 4-foot fence is fine, but if they're going to keep doing that, we're going to keep paying to replace it.
Can I make another recommendation? I'm just telling you, because I've seen another district that tried wood and it didn't work either. Put some bougainvillea along the chain link fence there, and
whatever the answer is going to be.
But yeah, I think
thorny bushes work.
It's more aesthetically pleasing, and believe it or not, it's less desirable to even try to cut it.
But temporarily, we just need to get that.
I got you.
Yeah, it was ordered. I don't know why it wasn't done yet, but we'll
I'm going to follow up now.
I just don't want a kid to go through there. Not that it's our property, but I don't want that issue. So
yeah, Milton usually won't remove a dead palm, so we have to bring some Brightview in to do it. I'll take care of the palm.
That's really all I got. So okay.
Got it.
No, I'm good.
I have to add on what Tony was saying about what the palm in the middle is dying. But my question is this: I walk every day, right? So I walk down the middle, and then there are so many dead, the palms are fall. I know it's Milton. What's his contract? Is he supposed to do it weekly, bi-weekly?
When he cuts, he cleans up.
When he cuts, he cleans up.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't have a daily porter or anything like that.
So he cuts
He cuts 30, is it 30 or 35?
35, 35. 30, 32. But anyways, this time of year, it's every couple weeks. It'll be weekly probably starting this month.
Right, so when he cuts, we'll take a look at what type of work he did. I mean, I had a talk with Milton yesterday on my own yard, and we came to a conclusion. It was really cool.
Awesome.
No, it's good. He came into, he said, bring back the service I used to see. I'll pay for value.
Right.
Right. And so, when he cuts, I'll take a look because it's dirty today.
Okay.
And it's been dirty for the week and a half I've been walking.
We're doing service today. I'm pretty sure that's all.
Yeah, I think he's there today, actually. So,
all right,
so when you get home,
so
send me in.
Morning when I walk at
If you wanted to go out there every week, we're going to have to pay him more money.
I understand that. I just want to see what type of job he does.
He does. I have seen him on his cutting neighbor's yards. He does, as they see them, pick stuff up from our property.
Tomorrow. They're there tomorrow.
He does do that.
Fence will get fixed tomorrow.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. And thank you for cutting that metal.
In any community, I have never removed more ancillary things than your community. I mean, pipes and bars and conduits everywhere. The rebar is like.
There's those plastic conduit pipes are all over.
I wish I were in the junk metal business. I would have made money. It's crazy.
I don't have anything. All right. Yeah, Russ is good. Carl is good. You want blank?
No, since you're not here, I'll make a motion to adjourn the meeting.
Thank you, Carlos. The round dot on our screen.
I second.
All right, thank you all.
You guys have a great